You know, as I go through the Psalms, there are a lot of Psalms that I really relate to. I understand David. A lot of people who try to interpret this Psalm, they're very confused. They see as the first part of it, David just trusting in the Lord and depending upon the Lord. In the latter part of the Psalm, it seems like he's pleading to the Lord for help. And I can relate to that. There are times that I am just fully confident and trusting in the Lord. At the same time, I'm saying, Lord, help me. You know, Lord, deliver me. Lord, be with me. I think a lot of people try to interpret the Psalms without ever experiencing how God works. Anyway, I've experienced that in my life. I mean, you know, there's times I feel like that I'm completely sold out to the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm depending on the Lord. And while my heart is right there laid out before the Lord, fully depending upon Him, my heart is also crying out to Him to help me, to deliver me, to guide me, to comfort me, to console me. I mean, I understand this Psalm. I don't intend to go completely through the Psalm. There are three specific and particular directions that could be gone as we study the 27th Psalm. There's one particular verse that I want us to kind of focus in on and to analyze and consider with reference to seeking the face of the Lord, an expression that's no longer used. I think that there's a vanishing breed of people who do this. But I want to kind of look at that one particular verse, but I can't look at that verse without looking at it in its full context. In the first part of this psalm, it's obvious that David is excited about the things of God. It's clear to me that there's an exhilaration of his faith being exercised. There are times that our faith excites us. Then he begins to talk about the experiences of his faith. And also toward the end of the psalm, he talks about the expectations of his faith, things that he was expecting from the Lord. And so I want to begin reading in the first verse, and I plan to read all of it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, or Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. O Lord of my salvation, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now let's notice, first of all, as we go through this psalm, and just quickly notice how that he responds to the statement found in verse 8, and it's going to be our text for this morning. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There was a call that went out. Now, I believe in a divine call of God. I believe that there's a call that goes out in creation. God is calling the human race unto himself. He is the creator, and we should respond to our creator. He is worthy of our recognition. I believe that there's a call that goes out from the church, from the preaching, from the testifying. There are calls that go out from mothers and fathers to children to come to the Lord. I mean, God uses all these things to call us unto himself. And notice David's response. He promptly responded. I believe every written portion of the Word of God is a call to mankind to come to God. And so David responds to that. Now, there's another portion of this that I want us to consider. He specifically mentions a spiritual inner call. God spoke or whispered by His Spirit into his soul, seek my face. And he heard that and he spoke in his heart, thy face will I seek, O Lord. He echoed that call that came from God. Now, I believe in the Spirit of the Lord working in the souls of men. He's worked in my soul. I've heard Him. That still small voice that speaks deep down in the corridors of my soul, that a place where only God can speak. And God spoke to David in this particular psalm, or he was reflecting back on when God had spoken these things to him. And the thing that he asked of David is that he would seek his face. This hearty response, he resolved to do exactly what the Lord had asked him to do. There was no hesitation. There was no reservation about it. There was no procrastination. I mean, when God said, seek my face, David said, yes. Thy face, O Lord, will I seek. It's unfortunate that many times the Lord speaks to souls and they do not answer. They do not respond. They turn away the call. Listen, if the Lord is speaking to you today, harden not your heart. Listen to His voice. Respond to the call of God. God is calling out to a lost and dying world to come to His Son Jesus Christ and embrace the blood that was shed at Calvary and be saved. And those who respond to the call, I know there's a lot of people that are hearing that call. And once you respond to the call, there are many calls, I think, upon our lives. I'm celebrating a 33rd anniversary today of preaching the gospel. I started 33 years ago this Sunday trying to preach God's holy word. I got a call from the Lord to preach the gospel. I know we live in a society today that doesn't believe in that. But I assure you, in a Stacker Crane on Southeastern Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana, I was called of God to preach His Word. It was distinct. It was clear. It was obvious. I knew exactly what had just happened to me. Now, you can denounce that. You can deny that with all your might. But I'll tell you, I still believe in God called preachers. This is more than just a profession to me. This is a life for me. It is my life. It is my calling. But there are many calls that God sends to His people. But everyone who has exercised faith, everybody that's been saved, has to seek the face of God. We seek the face of God in conversion. We also seek the face of God in conversing with God. In order for us to have a relationship, a fellowship with God, we must seek His face. Now, I don't believe that people know what that means anymore. I really don't. People don't know what it means to seek the face of God. And we have to reteach everybody because it's a lost art. It's more than just praying. I want you to get that. It's more than just praying. Recently on television, I saw somebody being interviewed who had suffered a great loss. And she said, well, I'm not a religious person, but I'm praying now. And, God is available to us in our hour of need. I'm glad He is. I'm glad that He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. But we're not to use God like a spare tire. We're not to just pray and seek things from God when we're hurting. We're to also experience God when things are good. I mean, there's more to the Christian walk and the Christian life than just using God as a help in your time of trouble. Now, He is a very present help in time of trouble. I know that. I've experienced that. I'm glad He's there for people when they're hurting and when they're in need. But He's also there for us when we're going through good times. And so David was talking about how that God in this psalm had, he was talking about how that God had fortified his life. His faith fortified his life. He had great excitement in knowing the Lord and serving the Lord. He was excited about this in the first part of the psalm. He says, hey, the Lord is my light. He is my life. He's my everything. God is blessing me. There's a joy of being a child of God. I wish we could get the joy back. Perhaps we need to seek the face of God for the joy of our salvation. And we need to ask the Lord, restore to us the joy of our salvation. There used to be a time where the children of God were happy no matter what their circumstances were. They were joyful, the walking in the Lord. They were like Paul, incarcerated in an awful, disgusting environment, in a prison cell, in a dungeon. And yet he would say, rejoice, I say, rejoice. There was still a joy in his life. There was a joy in the apostles, even as they were being martyred for their faith. And we need to get back that joy. We need to seek the face of God for the restoring of the joy of the Christian life. It's a joyful thing to serve the Lord. The last 33 years, the joy of the Lord, the joy of serving Him, and the joy of walking with Him. You know, it all goes back to as David is going through this celebration, this excitement, this exhilarating experience of just knowing the Lord as His Savior, knowing the Lord as His light, knowing the Lord as His strength. I guess we might say it's more than just being fortified, it's characterized. It's characterizing who we are before the Lord. We are the children of the living God. Now that excites me. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the one true King. I've been bought with a price. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I've been given eternal life, eternal security, an eternal hope. I'm going to heaven one day when I die. I know that in my heart and in my life, and that comforts me. There's an everlasting comfort and joy associated with experiencing all that God has to offer in us being saved. In Psalms 32 and 7, we sang this morning about the hiding place. Well, He is our hiding place, right? Yeah, Psalms 32 and 7, Thou art my hiding place. Yes, a hiding place for us. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Listen, I've been given eternal life. I contend that those that are in the hand of Jesus Christ, all that the Father has given the Lord, He has lost none. No man shall pluck them from the Father's hand. We're safe and we're secure in the Lord Jesus. We should be happy about that. I miss Evelyn. She'd be saying that she's happy about it if she was here. Yes. Yes, we have everlasting life. We've experienced eternal regeneration. We are the children of the living God. I remember a few years ago, somebody got in my face, an infidel of sorts, a wicked man, and you know what? He probably was going to hurt me. He had that kind of attitude about him, and I don't know if you've ever been in those situations or not, but I'm thinking to myself, you don't know who you're messing with. God's people are the apple of His eye. You just don't know who you're messing with. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed by His grace. I've been bought by His blood. I've been filled by His Spirit.
been born from above. And listen, that should excite us. He gives us divine strength. He gives us divine wisdom. He gives us divine power. And we need to seek that power, don't we? We need to get some of that power back. But He gives us divine guidance. He gives us divine protection. I believe the Lord is protecting His people. I'm part of His church. I'm part of His bride. Yeah. And Jesus said that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm in that church. I'm in the kingdom. I'm one of His priests and His kings. I'm an overcomer. I'm one of His sheep. I'm one of those sheep of His pasture. I'm a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have an armor that He's given me. I have a shield of faith, a sword of the Spirit, a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness. My feet are shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Don't get in my way, devil. Listen, my shield will deflect your fiery darts. He will help us. Listen, our faith will help us overcome the world. Amen. We need to march. We need to move forward. Yes, that's who I am. I'm a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no weapon that can be formed that can overthrow me. No weapon can be formed against us. Listen, our lives are centered in Him. Our lives are established in Him. We are stable in Him. This ought to excite us. There should be an exhilaration. There should be an excitement. Maybe the problem is we don't have faith. Faith is an exciting thing. Faith has conquered kingdoms. You realize that? It's brought down walls like it brought down the walls of Jericho. It's built boats to save the human race. We need to have faith in the Lord. I want to live by faith. I want to walk by faith. I want to die in the faith. Amen. Yeah, I want to keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I am a child of the one true King. I believe I'm safe. I'm one of the Lord's kids. I'm part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm in His kingdom. I've been born into that kingdom. And this kingdom is a divine kingdom that was set up by the God of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of His kingdom, there will be no end. America might fall, but the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ will never fall. Yeah, we cannot be moved. We cannot be jolted. We cannot be shaken. We've been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So I'm going to stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm excited to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, it's the most exciting thing that's ever happened in my life. Even to this day, I can't help but get excited about it. Yes, in Proverbs 18 and 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I'm in that tower. It's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Listen, God is the light of His people. He is the love of their life. He shows them the way to triumph. He helps them with their doubts, their fears. He comforts them. He consoles them. And then we comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. Like it says in the first chapter of Corinthians. He keeps us from failing. He keeps us from falling. He helps us and keeps us from sinking. And He keeps us from dying. The Lord is with us. There's an undaunting courage and a triumphant praise in our voice. Because though the world comes against us, we know that we shall overcome. Amen. You're going to be victorious. Yeah, so our faith fortifies us. I mean, and exhilarates us. I mean, it encourages us. I mean, it ignites something in us. Listen, when you got saved, if something didn't come in you that wasn't in there before, if there wasn't a presence of the Spirit of the Lord that came in you, I mean, if something new didn't happen to you when you got saved, the Bible says this clearly in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. If the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you're none of His. Yeah. I've got an omnipotent guide, an immutable God who helps me and guards me and cheers me along the way. And that's what David was talking about in this psalm. The power of that shielding force. A love that never leaves us. Are you thankful for the love that never leaves us? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul said, "He that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us, how shall he not freely give us all things? Who shall lay unto the charge of any of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yeah, he rose again. He ascended to glory. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or persecution or peril or sword or nakedness?" It's written, "We are all like sheep and we are led off to the slaughter." Nay, no, that is not our situation. That is not the hermeneutics of that verse of Scripture. That is not the exegesis. Wrong interpretation. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. "For I am persuaded," Paul said, "I am persuaded, and I'm persuaded today, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." My Lord! Amen. My Lord! My Lord! What was it that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14? "Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who always," everybody say always. Say it again, always. Always gives us the victory. Listen. The Lord Jesus Christ secures us in salvation. And I'm not afraid of what the world can do. The world can't do anything to us. The world cannot destroy us. We have a promise. Death cannot harm us. We have a promise. Right? We have many promises in the Word of God. And I pray that we'll embrace those promises. Jesus said, "He that believeth in me shall never die." All right, so there's an excitement. I believe in a faith that excites us. There's an exhilaration to this faith. There's an exhilaration, I mean, knowing the Lord as your Savior and as your strength, as your salvation. I mean, it ought to help us hold our heads up high above our enemies. We are overcomers of this world, even by our faith, right? We need to hold our heads up high over our enemies. It might seem like at times that they're winning the battle, but they will not win the war. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to gain the victory over everything in this life. Listen, the world cannot destroy you. Death cannot destroy you. The devil cannot get you. We are kept secure through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save us and He will deliver us. Okay, I got to move on. I got to get to my text. All right. So we're fortified, but also, you know, living in the ways of the Lord, living a life of faith, living and walking by faith, it not only fortifies us and characterizes us, but it satisfies us. I mean, there's a satisfaction that he speaks of in these verses, talking about, man, I'm just pleased to be able to see the beauty of the Lord in His tabernacle, to hide myself in the pavilion, to go to that place where God is, to have fellowship and interaction and communion with God. Man, that's the best way. That's the best life. And it is the best life. There's no better life than having a life lived for the Lord. It's satisfying. I know the devil is tempting our young people that they need to seek the satisfaction that the world provides. They're telling them they need all of these special things to have a happy, joyful, pleasant, fulfilling life. That they need wealth and they need occupation and they need just stuff of the world. But we all know that the things of this world are going to melt with fervent heat, don't we? It's all going to pass away. That the true satisfaction, if you want true contentment, it is only found in the Lord. I like Psalms 107 verse 9. I've used this on various occasions. He said, for he satisfieth the longing. God satisfies the longing that we have. The longing of what? The longing of our soul. What we need, we find in God and in God alone. You can't find it anywhere else. I know people might say, well, why do you want to go to church on Sunday? Why do you want to go? Because I want to get closer to God. I want to walk with God. I want to experience God in my life. And isn't it wonderful to experience God in your life? To experience God in your home and in your life. That's satisfaction of life right there. He satisfies the longing of our soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. There's a transcending ampleness of divine being and perfection that's available to us. And we find that satisfaction. We find that fulfillment. It's signified in these verses as the tabernacle of the Lord in verse 5. Okay? In the secret. And it is a secret to a lot of people. A lot of people don't know this. They obviously don't know this. When I got in my car this morning and pulled out of the driveway, my neighbor was getting his paper out. He don't go to church. You know, he doesn't live for the Lord. He's missing out on the best part of life. He really is. Our satisfaction is in God. Our contentment is in Him. Faith satisfies. You just got to experience for yourself. There's this exhilaration, but there's also the experience of faith. You must experience it for yourself. You have to have it for yourself. You have to go through it for yourself. But it not only satisfies, it sanctifies. And that's characterized in verse 8, where he says, calls out unto him to seek his face. Now, there are several things I want to point out that the phrase seeking the face of the Lord signifies in Scripture. First of all, we find in like Daniel, where it refers to restoration in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Daniel set himself to seek the face of the Lord concerning the restoration of the people of Israel from their Babylonian captivity. He was seeking for restoration, to restore things. Is there something in your life that needs to be restored? Do you realize there are times where it requires more than prayer? He was seeking the face of the Lord for restoration. Of course, in that ninth chapter, one of the greatest prophecies found in the Bible, in Daniel chapter 9, was given to him. But let's see where it all started. It all started with seeking the face of the Lord. And in seeking the face of the Lord, he was given an answer. He was given forgiveness. The people were given healing. They were given not only that, but a promise of restoration. And the things of the future were revealed to Daniel as a result of him seeking the Lord's face. And I believe it brought him great comfort in knowing that they were going to be restored to some degree of former glory in the answer to that prayer. So not only restoration is the phrase used, but I guess one of the most familiar is recovery. You know, Solomon talked about the recovery in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture for the people of God, but it's recovering things, restoring things. It's used with respect to that. If my people who are called by my name shall pray and humble themselves and seek my face. Isn't that important? It's more than just prayer, because he said he first mentioned praying and humbling, and then he says, seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. He said he would hear from heaven. He would forgive their sin. He would heal their land. People, if there's ever been a time we needed healing in this country, it's now. If we ever needed a restoration in the church and in the Christian life and in the Christian movement, it's now. We need to be restored back to the basics of things. First of all, you got to be restored to God before we can ever be restored on that other level. So it's used with respect to restoration. It's used with respect to recovery. In Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, it's used with respect to repentance. The Lord just simply said it this way. He says, if you do not seek my face, I will not forgive you. I will not forgive you unless you seek my face. So it's associated with restoration. It's associated with recovery. It's also associated with repentance. It's part of one of the elements of repentance. Okay, where you turn from yourself and you turn yourself over to the will of God. Amen. That's seeking the face of God. And that's kind of what it's mentioned here in Psalms 27. A recognition. A closeness, a communion, a desire to interact with God is used in this particular passage in the 8th verse of the 27th Psalm. And I think it's more than just temporal favor. I think it's a constant, continuous interaction and communion with God is what the Lord seeks us to have with Him. To have fellowship with Him on a daily basis, every day of our life. To have fellowship with God. To seek the face of God. To turn toward the things of God. But we want help and we want to pray for these situations and circumstances. But I'm afraid too many times we have too many faithless prayers. We want the Lord to help us, but I really don't want to do your will. Okay, help in this situation, but really I'm busy on these other days of the week. You know, just... It's not a full-fledged, wholehearted commitment to the Lord when we are praying. I'm afraid there's a lot of people who they want to be saved and they come to the Lord and say, I believe, but I want to live like I've always lived. You'll never get saved like that. Amen. You've got to repent, right? There has to be a change. I mean, you've got to... Quit seeking your will and start seeking the will of the Lord. Now, this is clearly revealed, like in verse 11 of the 27th Psalm. Notice it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Now, he was asking for the Lord to direct his life. He wanted to know the will of the Lord. He wanted the Lord to make it plain to him. Is that important to you? Amen. But what about the things that he has made plain to you that you just refuse to do? There's a lot of those things that He has made plain to us in His Word, yet people just refuse to do. Obviously, they're not seeking the face of the Lord. Now, there are times where we seek for forgiveness and we seek for recovery. And man, we've got a lot of recovery that's needed in our churches. There's a lot of things that need to be restored. We want the favor of God and we want the forgiveness of God and we should seek His face and we should confess our sins. We should seek to be restored spiritually. But a lot of times we have lost a lot of things because of pride. We've lost a lot of things because of neglect and carelessness where we're just failing to seek the face of God. We're failing to seek the way of God. And it's time we return to the basic biblical principle of seeking His face. Just like when Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem, He went that direction. Well, it's time in your life to quit going your own way and go in the direction of God. Like the messengers that were sent in a certain direction used in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 10, or like Jesus in Luke 9 and 51, we need to seek out the direction and the guidance and the will and the way of the Lord, and we need to be devoted to it. We need to be dedicated to it. The Lord is calling on us to seek His face, and we need to respond, say, yes, thy way, O Lord, that's the way I want to go. Now, we've got a lot of lip service. A lot of, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord. Come on now. It's like Jesus said, you know, they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. This has to be a heart work, right?
It's not something we do on the surface. It's something we do from the depths of our soul. God, I want my home to please You. I want my life to please You. You know, I want my walk and my word to please You. I mean, this is a cultivation. When you're really seeking the face of God, it's a cultivation of obedience. I want to obey You. What do You want me to do? How do You want me to live? What is Your will for my life? That's what I want. I'm seeking Your face. Jesus spoke to one of the churches and He said, look, you need to strengthen the things that remain lest they die. I want to say this to the church, just a side note, and I'm going to close. There are some things that we need to seek the face of God on concerning restoring things that we have lost. Have you ever set yourself to seek the face of God concerning a particular thing? Has there been something in your life, I mean, you needed to know God's will and you were going to seek the face of God until He responds? Okay, so you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what God's will was in this situation. Yeah. Seeking the face of God. There's been times where I went down, didn't get up. I didn't care how many hours passed. I wasn't going to get up until I heard from the Lord. Seeking God for something. I mean, seeking the face of the Lord, seeking His favor or an answer. A recovery. I mean, there's not a devotion and dedication to this. It's part of the process of praying. It's not only just asking for something, but seeking to do something for God. Seeking to be obedient to God. Seeking the commandments of God. Seeking to respond to whatever will He is for your life. A spirit of obedience in seeking the face of God. Well, you know, as I study through this, there's a lot of wonderful thoughts, and I'm going to stop now on that. But I want to close with faith, how it carries the day. I like this verse, and I just want to bring it to your attention. I'm not going to preach from it. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. I'm telling you people, faith beautifies our lives. Faith. Faith. It terrifies our enemy. The devil is afraid of our faith. We can overthrow the enemy by faith. It is faith that purified our hearts. The Bible says they purified their hearts by faith. That's how the Gentiles got saved. It purified us. It protects us. It verifies our position. It personifies us having a Savior. It certifies our devotion. It ratifies the covenant that was given by God on high. And it testifies of our redemption. We've got to live our lives believing. Now, there's a future out there. And we don't need to be wavering, right? We need to believe that God is going to care for us and He's going to take care of us. Things may become bleak, and that's part of this whole psalm of David. But let's not waver. Let's not falter. Let's keep believing. I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe in the power of God. I believe there's hope when there seems to be no hope. And there's times in our lives where we need to hope against hope. Just like Father Abraham. Have that waiting hope on the Lord. Listen, there are times where it's very clear to us, nothing but God will do. And that's what David was talking about. I need God. Yes, I appreciate your counsel. I appreciate your prayers. But nothing but God can help me or deliver me or protect me or see me through this circumstance. I need Him. And I'm hoping and believing. Have you seen God work? Do you think you can do it again? Do you really, really believe that God enabled His people to go across the Red Sea on dry ground? Do you think He could do that again? Sure He could. Do you really believe that the walls of Jericho fell flat by the people of Israel just marching around them? Can He do it again? Yeah. I have seen... I believe My hope is in the Lord. He's going to take care of us. Amen? He's going to see us through. Listen, if you've never answered the call, it's time for you to seek His face. If you've been saved for a while, but you've not dedicated yourself to the Lord, if you're not committed to the Lord, if you're not even trying to seek His face and keep His commandments, change! Repent! Come into the good life! Come into a life of faith! I mean, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might! Experience the strength of God! Experience the stability that's in God! Experience the soothing aspects of God. God will soothe you. He will protect you. He will comfort you. He will help you. But you've got to trust in Him with all of your heart. You have to seek Him in conversion. You have to seek Him in conversing. You've got to seek the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He may be near.